Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series featuring expert discussions on power system testing, data management, cybersecurity, and important trends in the power industry. My name is Simon Rommer from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. As in all Energy Talks episodes that I host, I will be covering topics related to OT cybersecurity in the power industry. In this episode, I will be speaking with my guest, Jaron Stammler, who is an OT security consultant and my colleague at Omicron. We will talk about some experiences and reoccurring findings that we had during our assessments of substations and battery energy storage systems and the like. So without further delay, I welcome Jaron to this episode of Energy Talks. Hello, Jaron.
Hi.
So let's start with the easy question first. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Jaron. I'm working with Omicron since 2024, and I'm mainly focusing on risk assessments and trainings currently. But I have a history with automation technology. So I've worked 12 years, somewhere around 12 years for a big vendor building automation technology for energy systems, but also for like factories and plants. And so I was tasked with consulting on those topics of automation technology.
So you already mentioned trainings and assessment. This is exactly the topics that we want to discuss today, mainly the assessment part. Today, we want to talk specifically about how an assessment is built, what we do during such an assessment. So let's start from the beginning. How do our customers find us or come to the realization that they need help?
This really depends on the situation, but many customers find us via word of mouth. So we have had experiences, some customers, and they were hopefully satisfied with our work. And so they tell their friends and colleagues, I don't know, in the sector, in the area. And so when they need help, they may find us. And this help can be multiple things. For example, assessment, as we have done it in the past, but also concepts for networks, for example, or some just a sparing, let's say, sparing partner on the security questions they have for the system. And this can also be obviously training.
The training part is always curious to me because what we do is basically train the customer through our reports. So we have the reports in the end that we will be going to talk about in a few minutes. And our goal is always for the customer to be more informed afterwards than before. So what we basically do is also training the customer through our assessments. One of those customers I talked to was Jose in a previous episode, and he stressed how important it is to have these assessments early. We both know that the reality looks quite different.
Yes, absolutely. You could say sadly, because it would be quite nice to start an early phase of the project. But yeah, the reality is sometimes different.
Maybe we get called during the planning phase, but mostly we get called during the building phase already, where security is an afterthought, but is still needed by legislation or required by the investor or future asset owner. And this is where it gets messy, because then we have the requirements from the asset owner or from the investor that it needs to be done and it needs to be finished and energizing needs to be happening, but they also need to fulfill all the kritis or other requirements.
There's another problem here. I mean, do you know the rule of 10? It's like not a real rule or scientific measurement or anything like this, but it says kind of the later you fix problems, the more expensive it is. So if you fix a problem in planning phase and it costs you, I don't know, 10 euros, the same problem fixing it after commissioning would be a much higher amount of money you have to invest kind of to fix the problem, for example, than, I don't know, 100 euros or 1,000 euros, for example, for the same problem, even though it's, yes, the same issue. So it's always a problem when we do the assessments later in the project, not really for us. I mean, it's not really an issue we can use. Yeah, but for the customer, the results is always obviously better to have them early or earlier than later, just to be able to react more easily and more efficiently on those findings.
Also, Jose said later in the project, you can't really change anything. So yeah, you know what you would need to change, but there is no possibility or there is no financial headroom in the budget.
Yeah, I mean, the financials is one part, but often it's not about 5,000 euros for another component or something like this. It's also the time and the resources, having people doing this during fixing other problems in the project to be on time, and then, I don't know, restructuring the network, restructuring the IP addresses and everything like this is obviously not real feasible in the amount of time such projects often have.
Yeah. We do most of our assessments according to IEC 62443, where we sometimes shorten the process to stay within different constraints, may it be to budget or time constraints. So what does the former correct IEC 62443-3-2 process look like? And why do we focus on a subset of the whole standard? So the 3-2 is not the whole standard, right?
I mean, the standard is fairly complex. There are different parts. It's always the first number after the 62443. So part one is the general topic, like the glossary and lifecycle descriptions. The part two is on policies, procedures, and like the general approach on information and cybersecurity in general. And the part three is about the system. And this is obviously where the technicians and engineers often are involved and most interested. And there's the part two, which is on the risk assessment, or risk management, and the part three on the system requirements. And then there's the fourth part of the standard. This is on the components. And so there's another part where you can check against components and use those components to build a secure system. That's at least the idea. And so in the 3-2, which is what we use for risk assessments, the process is strictly defined. There are some sub-processes and some inputs defined by the standard, which you should use to do the assessment. And the problem is, obviously, it's time-consuming to do it exactly like the process, but I think that's okay, because there's a reason this process is to be followed. But also, the input information suggested by the standard, that's, at least in our experience, not always existent. So we can ask for all of this, but in at least in many cases, it's not there. So we have to make the best out of it and try to get a sensible and good assessment going, even without all the information required by the standard. So this also implies that we can't always follow the standard to the letter.
Yes, especially with availability during the final stages of building the project, and then the availability of the engineers and network designers is quite low. We also can't really do the workshops that we like and also the interviewing that we like. So as you said, information is not there and we have to assume a lot of things. In general, the standard sounds all very strict, but as mentioned, the steps can be altered a bit if needed. So we don't do certifications and accreditations after all. What we provide is an assessment where the customer has some actionable information at the end of the day. And this is also the part that I was talking about when I mentioned trainings.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really training, but we try always to create the report in a way that it is so that the customers can learn something of the report, kind of. So We would maybe include information for one customer, which we would exclude for the next because they have a different, let's say, mindset or a different knowledge base, kind of. And so we try to adapt the report that the customer gets most out of it, not only to have the risk register or something like this, but also the most information and learning to continue the journey, because this is obviously a one-time thing, but security is not a one-time action. So they have to continue in some way or another.
Yeah, security is always a process. Maybe let's describe how we do our assessments and how we approach these kind of things if there is not enough time, but we still want to provide value.
Yeah, the part where I think personally there's the most, let's say, room to skip it is the part where we do in 3-3 assessment. So checking the system against the requirements of the standard. So the 3-2 is on the risk assessment process and the 3-3 is on the system requirements. And so it's you could say a compliance check. Does the system comply to the rules of the 3-3? And personally, I think the value of this is not so high. I mean, there are good requirements and good points you can include in the system. Also, especially if you're planning a new system, new part, a new substation, whatever you're building. But in a security risk assessment, I think the value is not so high. And so the customer wants this also, we sometimes skip this part. But we always include like the risk scenarios. And we normally do that in a way that we try to also give some scale. So we use not only like likelihood and impact input parameters for risk, so to say how severe is the risk, but also use exposure, exploitability as also some indicators on how relevant a risk is. And then the report often includes some kind of structure depending on the exact project and the systems we are looking at. So it's description of the risks and so on. Then also we include some guidance on what to do next kind of. So what are the most relevant risks? What are the mitigation measures you can take? How can you continue with the next steps to make the system more secure? And this can be sometimes included in the report or an extra document. It really depends on the project.
This is also the paper or the outcome that the customer is paying us for. I always compare it to pen testers, and I said it in a previous episode that the best pen tester or the best consultant in this case is not really valuable if they can't transfer the knowledge that they gained. So for us, transferring the knowledge means writing a good report where it's clearly stated what we did, how we did it, and what the outcomes also means to the customer. And as you correctly said, what they can do afterwards, because security is a process. It's something that we repeat all the time. It's not a one-time thing. So having some action items after the fact is always good and needed. So the outcome is a report with threat scenarios and risks. As I said, we also give recommended remediations and provide context with the report. For me, this is the most important part because it's the value that we bring and also the reason why customers and partners come back and task us again with a follow-up project, because we understand the energy sector, we understand the intricacies, and we are able to bring to light some things that others might not see directly. This also sounds like we're doing the same few steps all the time. Well, since it's a standard procedure, it might be right in general, but the devil is always in the details, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, each network is different and also each project is different. So the time we are coming to the project is always different. So the interactions, the information available and required are different. And so we can't really say, okay, just copy the risks from the last projects to the next. That's not feasible. That's, at least in my experience, I would say, doesn't work. Even if you can gain some experience and use that experience in the next project, the setup will always be a bit different. And also, as I said, the outcome is highly individual. So you may have some customer who has a very high maturity rate and they already know a lot of things, but needed like an external view. And so the results, the report must be different than, for example, for a customer who has no experience or low experience in this kind of tasks and this kind of projects, maybe has never done a risk assessment. And so we have to adapt, and then therefore each body is different and the network is different and the customer is different. So we can't really repeat everything in the same way.
Most of the times we also have to explain the 62443 in general and what the approach in the -3-2 is. For example, that we have to identify the system under consideration first. So what is the scope is always a good question at the beginning of such a project, because the scope also defines your risks and your interfaces to the outside world. Then we need to perform an initial cybersecurity risk assessment. Regular listeners of this podcast already know that I'm not fond of the word cyber, but in this case, it means the cyber physical system. So everything that is digital and relating to the physical world. So performing an initial cybersecurity risk assessment, as it's named in the standard, where we look at all the risks without any countermeasures. So without having the firewalls in place, without having any kind of segmentations, without having any kind of other security related devices in place. Then we partition the system under consideration into zones and conduits. I think zones and conduits are the most well-known part of the 62443. So the zones are groups of devices with a similar security level, but in reality, it's more like a functional grouping, not only function of the devices, but also functional in the sense that it's possible. So not every kind of grouping is possible with the network appliances that are in place. And the conduits don't always have to be firewall. It gets really expensive. Also, it gets really complicated if every conduit between the two zones is a firewall. Sometimes the conduit is just a direct connection without anything in between. And then we check the initial risk, if it exceeds the tolerable risk. And this is also where we have to have the workshops and to have the experts from the customer again.
Yeah. And I mean, that's very interesting often because we obviously know some things and we assume some things and we have seen similar projects. But in each and every workshop, you gain a new perspective kind of and learn something new from also from the customer. That's really what I enjoy. So the sad thing is we can't always do the workshops in the frequency and also the detail depth we would like to sometimes because the projects, as we already discussed, are sometimes in the middle of the building project and sometimes there are higher priorities as, let's say, cybersecurity risk assessments. For example, I don't know, problems with the building structure or the cables or whatsoever.
If energizing is next week, yeah. Today having a workshop with some random security guys that have no impact on the outcome anymore is a low priority, which is also the reason why having the security assessments in the beginning during the planning phase is more valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe let's summarize our assessments, how they are done and what the main value is after we finished our work. So maybe you can do that real quick.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as we said, the actual output more or less is a risk register. So this is something you can use as an input for an ICMS, for example, or for further future assessments, but also the report. And so the report is structured always in a similar way. As we discussed already, the content differs greatly between projects, but the structure is more or less the same. So there's executive summary, then there's the explanation on what we did and how, so the method, what kind of measurements or things we used. And then there is the meat. So the description of the risks, the description of the countermeasures, the descriptions of the things implied by those risks. And then there's a summary also for the most urgent topics that should be looked at. And it's a package. And you can, at least that's always what I'm trying, you can choose the detail level you want to dive into. So you start maybe with the executive summary if you just want an overview of what the biggest issues are. And then if you decide to drill in deeper, you can follow the descriptions of the risks and maybe even then go over to the risk register to look at the ratings and the likelihood descriptions and stuff like this.
Your emphasis on the report really shows that this is the main part of our work. And during the security assessments, we already start writing the report so that we also have something to show for if the customer needs a intermediate review or something. And with that, thanks, Jaron, for taking the time to talk to me. Do you have any last message you want to give our audience?
Yeah, I mean, using consultants' projects is something which is often done, but I would say a good consultant or a good consulting team providing some input for a project should always be to bridge temporary shortages of resources. But that's not the only point. I think a really good consultant or consulting team is always of value if you get some knowledge transfer. We already discussed this, how this works, but this is a really important part, not only to deliver some kind of output, some kind of delivery package or whatever, but also to get some knowledge out of this project to be faster, to be better next time. And this is, at least in my opinion, one way to also to measure a consulting offer. Maybe ask the consultants you're talking to how they plan to transfer some knowledge to you, how they prepare the output so that you can understand this and maybe put an emphasis on this part, because there are obviously a lot of companies, a lot of consultants claiming to help you. And that's probably true in most cases, at least. But this last part, I would think this is something you should, as a customer, focus on.
This is quite a nice thing because we always try to build relationships, and I think that shows in our work. Thanks for these nice words in the end, and thanks for talking to me.
Sure, it was a pleasure.
And also a big thank you to our audience for listening to this and other episodes of Energy Talks. We always welcome your questions and feedback. Please send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity, and offers the matching solution for your application. For more information, visit our website at omicronenergy.com. Please join us for the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.